Welcome back. We trust you are having a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord. If you have not asked the pastor, there is still time for you to ask the pastor. God bless you. Okay, can we have more questions? When praises is ongoing in my church, I will be under the influence of the Holy Ghost. That's the anointing. And whenever the pastor is giving message, I'll be under anointing. I've prayed and wanted to stop. Please, man of God, what am I to do? Or any scripture I should use in praying over it? Mrs. Rose, residing in Ebonyi State, Nigeria.
What you should pray? Pray that God should give you peace. So that because the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of a prophet is subject to a prophet.
Amen.
To the prophet. So you have the ability to speak peace to yourself.
Wow.
Yes, you have the ability. And if you don't, then ask him that, Lord, this thing is distracting me. And he will do it. He will control it for you. Mm. But it's something that usually happens when you just receive that anointing, you know, newly like that. After some time, you get used to it and you can control it.
Amen. Okay.
Nothing to worry about. Yes.
All right. Okay, more questions coming in. Shalom, the Bright TV. My question is from Matthew chapter 12, verse 32. Anyone who speaks against the Son of Man can be forgiven. But anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, either in this world or in the world to come. So my question there is, like, what can somebody speak that will be against the Holy Spirit? My name is Cyril Nkoro from Jalingo, Taraba State, Nigeria.
No, the preceding verses, you know, tell you what amounted to. They were calling him Beelzebub. Mm. The same people from which camp Nicodemus came in John chapter 3.
Yes, sir.
Master, we know you are a teacher come from God. They know he's from God. Mm. That is the first thing we must note concerning the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Mm. They know that what he's doing is of God.
God is at work.
That this is the finger of God. Mm. But because attention is shifting to him from them, because he's rubbishing their stand out of jealousy to get at him, to rubbish him also, then they call him that the anointing that he's using is of the devil. Mm. So, it's still on now. Jesus said, at that time, it can be forgiven them. Even including killing him. Mm. Hanging on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them.
Even betraying him.
Even betraying him like Judas did. And Jesus told God to forgive Judas.
That's right.
To forgive the Sadducees. And say, kill him. Including those false testifiers, witnesses that came before the judge against him. Mm. Jesus hanging on the cross said, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. The reason is, this is what he came to do. He needs to go through this humiliation to achieve God's purpose for coming on earth. But after he has gone through all that humiliation and the gruesome death on the cross on Calvary, he paid the price for redemption. And now he comes in the spirit, because the Holy Ghost is Christ in the spirit. And he's walking again, and you use your nonsense mouth out of jealousy to call a manifestation of the spirit. Devil is using familiar spirit. Is using she's using familiar spirit. He is using, whether it's man or a woman, all just because you are jealous, all because you are angry with the vessel, all because you are angry with the ministry, and you say what they are using there is occultic powers. If that is the reason you are labeling such a person or such a ministry as demonic, the anointing that they are using as demonic, he said, that sin will never be forgiven. That is, by your mouth, you've sent yourself to hell. The emphasis is that An unbeliever cannot commit a sin of blasphemy because he doesn't understand. But you know that is a genuine gift of God, and you are calling it of the devil out of jealousy. That is the emphasis. Not out of ignorance, but out of jealousy to get at that ministry, to get at that woman of God, to get at that man of God. You have, by your mouth, sentenced yourself to hell. I pity you. Don't even reply them. Those of you who have that grace, those of you who are anointed, when they are accusing that your anointing is of the devil, don't even bother to pray for them, because you are wasting your time. They have sentenced themselves to hell. You just pity them and look away from them. God bless you. I think there's a call coming in.
Okay. Evangelist Peter from Nasarawa State, Nigeria. God bless you, sir. You're on air.
Good evening, brothers.
God bless you, Evangelist Peter.
Good evening, man of God.
God bless you.
My name is Evangelist Peter, as you have seen, and I want us to talk on something. You are hearing a message and you preach about salvation, and which is the heartbeat of God. And I appreciate that. Because God called every man of God, whether prophet, evangelist, apostle, teacher, or whoever you are, to preach the gospel. What is the gospel? Salvation. Saving through. God said to us that when one soul is won to heaven, where will God?
Can you hear me, Peter?
Question. Because sometimes I hear your message talking about the issue of the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, and baptism. And I just want to get something clear here, because the Bible gives us to understand certain things. Are you listening to that?
Can you hear me too?
Yes, I'm hearing you.
Okay, continue with your question.
Okay. Now, sometimes you preach in your message and you say, that is when you are preaching on the other, then you say that Jesus, God the Father, Jesus Christ prayed to the Father. That is when on earth he prayed. And who did Jesus Christ pray to? He prayed to the Father. The same Jesus Christ, before he left, he told us, he visited us another technology of the Holy Spirit. So, and you are making we Christians not to believe that there is anything like God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And if you look also in the book of Matthew chapter 3, from 14 to 17 in the baptism of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, when Jesus Christ went to be baptized by John the Baptist, something happened. A voice came down. That voice was the voice of the Father, God the Father. The Son was the one being baptized. The dove that came down was the sign of the Holy Spirit. That is the three personalities came together at the baptism of Jesus Christ. And if you look at Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, Jesus Christ commanded his disciples, he said, go into the world, baptize in the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That means what happened to him. At his mouth, his nonsense, what he's telling us that we should do, that the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit need to be present in every baptism. And in your prayer, sometimes you call on the Father. You, as the pastor, you pray, you say, oh Lord, my Father, come down. And sometimes you say, Jesus, we need you. Sometimes you say, Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit. And you also pray these prayers. So if you don't believe in the Trinity, how are you calling God the Father? How are you calling Jesus on the particular prayer? And then how are you calling the Holy Spirit on a particular instance. So we need to balance this thing.
Can you hear me?
I will not be able to put the quotation because of time. In the issue of baptism, if you look clearly in that of apostles, there is also baptism issues that are done there. In some time, you talk of the mansion by baptism by mansion. And me, from the book of Acts that I've read, sometimes, even in that of apostles chapter 10, when Peter commanded immediately that baptism should be done. That baptism was done immediately. Apostle Peter, and Apostle Paul was arrested. On the third day, he was commanded to be baptized. And this time, the Bible says he was baptized. They never told us by his mansion, the family of Cornelius, that Peter commanded to be baptized. They never told us how they were baptized. There was an instance. 3,000 souls were baptized in one day. In one day after the temptance, one day they were baptized. They did not tell us by mansion or by house. And to baptize 3,000 souls is not a small work.
Hello, Pastor and Peter. Brother Peter, can you hear me?
I'm hearing you, sir.
Do you have credit to talk with me for 3 minutes?
So,
Can we talk for 3 minutes?
I'm hearing you.
Thank you very much. Let me start, let me point a few things up from what you said. You said Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Did I hear you say that he said you should go and baptize in the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost?
That's what Jesus Christ commanded.
Can you read it for me?
Yes, I can read it.
Read it. Let us hear. Verse 19.
You said where?
Matthew 28, verse 19.
Okay. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father.
Brother Peter, can you hear me?
Holy Spirit.
Brother Peter, it's like you don't hear me. So if I tell you to pause, you will not hear me to pause, so we may not flow. Can you hear me?
I'm hearing you.
Now, in that scripture, you are adding something that is not there. He said, go and baptize in the name of the Father. He didn't say in the name of God the Father. You are the one adding God there, because it will change the meaning.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you also hear me?
Yes, I'm hearing you.
Now, let's read the Bible as it is, not what you think. Read it. Read it as it says. Is there God the Father?
Excuse me, sir. Can you hear me, sir?
Go on.
When the Bible says the Father, then who is the Father?
Now, I said, let us read the Bible. I told you to read something. Instead of reading, you are adding something. You said, read what is written there. The Bible says,
if the Father is not God, then I want you to make me understand who the Father is.
Now, listen now. You know, Brother Peter, I may have to talk to you separately, because I really, truly, the time we have is not a time for argument. It's a time to learn.
No, I'm not arguing.
Now, but I am trying to tell you something here. You are arguing. I say read something you read, and I say in quoting what you read, you are adding something, because that addition will misplace the meaning of that verse. That's what I want to call your attention to.
Okay.
I said the Bible says go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The emphasis there, therefore, is on the name. So you will now find out what is the name. The only way for us to understand the name is to find out from those who he spoke to. He spoke to his disciples, 11 of them. One of them was Peter. Another one was Simon. Simon. Now, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, now, he did not tell the people when he was asked, that they should baptize in the name of the Father, Son, or Holy Ghost. Instead, he said, baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, if you are studying the Bible, then you will be confused. Why did Jesus say, baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost? And Peter is saying, baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus. Simon baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Apostle Paul baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So, you will now, Philip baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus in Samaria. Now, why did all the apostles baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus? Jesus gave that commandment in Matthew 28:19, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The whole of the Bible after that verse, all we see is Jesus, Jesus. If you are truly studying with understanding, it simply means that name Jesus is the name of the Father. It's the same name of the Son. And it's the same name of the Holy Ghost. And there are scriptures to prove it. That is why water baptism is done in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, Brother Peter, let me add another thing. Now, you're talking about who Jesus is. Jesus Christ, the Jehovah God of Israel, the same God we are serving. Am I correct?
Yes.
Now, is it the same God that Israel served that we are serving today? Correct? The same God. Am I correct?
Yes.
Now, the first commandment he gave Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Listen, what did he say?
Yeah, O Israel.
Hear, O Israel.
The Lord our God is one Lord.
The Lord thy God is one Lord. But by the time we come to the New Testament, because of his various manifestation, the way the scripture is written, we hear of the Holy Spirit, we hear of the Father, we hear of the Son, and we become confused. But it is the same God of Israel. How has he become three now to us, who was one to Israel? And the truth about it is not trinity of persons, it is trinity of offices for our redemption. It is. Why don't you allow me land? Let me land. Let me finish. When I finish, I will give you some time to talk.
You know, it's crazy to finish. I just want to say something.
Go on.
Okay, sir. Now, I thought about the baptism of Jesus Christ. Something unique happened there.
I'm coming to that. That's why I say you will have allowed me to lie. I'm responding to what you have spoken.
Okay.
Now, let's go to the baptism of Jesus. Before you go to the baptism of Jesus, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16.
Where?
1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And let's read it for you.
And listen, without controversy.
He said, without argument, without controversy.
Great is the mystery of godliness.
It is a mystery. Brother Peter, it's a mystery. God, what is the mystery?
God was manifest in the flesh.
What is it?
God was manifest in the flesh.
The creator of the heavens and the earth was manifested to man in the flesh.
Justified in the spirit.
When was he justified in the spirit? During the water baptism.
Hallelujah.
Uh-huh.
Seen of angels.
He was seen by angels. We see that in the book of Acts.
Preached unto the Gentiles.
He was preached to the Gentiles.
Believed on in the world.
Believed on in the world.
Received up into glory.
And we saw when he was taken up, everybody saw him going up. That is why Jesus is called Emmanuel. He was God with us. It's a mystery. Now,
okay, now, I understand you. Because of my father, I just want to say something. And I have
not finished. I'm still responding to the point you brought forward.
Now, hear you later after the television.
Brother Peter, let me land. Now, that is for the Godhead. The third one that you mentioned is baptism. Now, you are saying it didn't show whether it was by immersion or not. It is because you are not hearing yourself what you are saying. Baptism means immersion.
That's right.
That is the meaning of baptism, is to be immersed and covered with water. So when you say somebody was baptized, you are actually saying somebody was immersed. by water, with water, covered with water. Therefore, when you say baptize and they sprinkle water on you, have you emerged? You have not emerged, a contradiction. God bless you. Every baptism is by immersion, because the word baptism means immersion. God bless you.
Hello.
If you have any further questions, you can call us privately because of time. God bless you, and may the Lord grant you understanding of the mystery of salvation while you go about evangelizing. Amen. Shalom.
That's a very, very funny and interesting question. Okay, Pastor sir, God bless you and thanks for your exhortation. My question is First Timothy 2:12. Can a woman preach salvation to a man? Question one,
can a woman preach salvation to a man? Witnessing, but not men sitting down in the church and you are standing to preach and give them instruction in righteousness. The Bible forbids it.
Okay, what if she carries a megaphone, a microphone?
You are witnessing. You are witnessing. That is witnessing.
Sir, is there a difference between evangelizing and witnessing?
Witness is evangelism. And they are in different, grades. We don't expect that a woman will go and conduct a crusade.
Okay.
I mean, you. There's a lot involved in organizing a crusade. Mm. The woman will have to leave her home. Mm. For who to take care of the home? So you limit yourself to your environment, to your place of work, and you share about the goodness of the Lord individually around. But to go and be ordained into the office of an evangelist, where you go on crusade, print posters, and go about and gather people in a podium, and then you are preaching and then making altar call, is given to man. It's part of the fivefold ministry. It is for man. That is the order of the Church of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, sir.
Second question.
In a community where there's no sandman in the things of God, can a woman pastor?
There will always be a man there that God will put. There will always be a man there. If there's no man there, then send for a man from somewhere to come, like the Macedonian call. Like the Macedonian call.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Question three, is there a female spirit? Your friend, Pastor Sam, expert from...
Is there a female spirit? Spirits that are...
Okay.
That are female. Well, the Bible lets us know that there is no marriage. If there's no marriage, then why would there be male and female? The purpose of male and female is for procreation. So I don't know how... male and female spirits. I can't understand that. But I'm aware that when it comes to manifestation, God can manifest in anything for any purpose. He can take on any shape and appear to you for a particular purpose. And you go, now, the appearance is not what we look at when God wants to deal with you in the spirit. It's what he's doing and what he's saying. And then you compare with the scriptures to know whether that is of God or it's a mummy water.
Okay, thank you.
Remember,
sir,
that Satan too can disguise
an angel of
as a female demon. As a female demon. That's why we have mummy water.
All right, sir. Good evening, sir. My spiritual life is down. What will I do to revive myself? With scripture to follow up. Thanks, sir. From Clementina Kevin from Bayelsa State, Nigeria.
Go back to studying the word. Go back to prayers. Go back to fasting. Take a retreat. And take your mind away from all the distractions. Look back to where you started having these experiences. When you say your spiritual life is down, I believe you are looking at your prayer life. Just go back to the things of the spirit and then you'll be restored. That's all. More time to reading, less time to social media and television. And whatever you've done that gives you the impression that you are no more with God, out of favor with God, repent and push your spiritual life ahead. God bless you.
Okay. Brother Jacob from Lagos State, Nigeria. You're on air, sir.
God bless you.
Yeah, I want to ask some questions, sir.
Go ahead, we're hearing you.
Okay, last time you were talking about Holy Communion mixed with the alcohol, but
never took life, so I didn't get the full answer of the question. So please, are you throw more light, sir?
That communion should be with alcohol. Everything about the communion, must have something that reflects the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. The bread is supposed to be unleavened bread. We all know that. That is bread without yeast. Because yeast there corrupts the bread. So Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Because okay. That is the false doctrines that corrupts the word of God. And so Jesus Christ in him was no sin. So his flesh, you must reflect the sinlessness of his body. That is why the bread cannot just be anyhow bread. It must be a bread without yeast. Unleavened. Leaven is yeast. Then when we come to the blood of Jesus Christ, it's not just the color red, but there's something in the blood of Jesus Christ that makes a difference with the blood of animal that affects the life of the sinner who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a life in the blood of Jesus Christ that preserves us, that converts us. And that is talking of the Holy Spirit of God that comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, and so Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30 tells us that we should not grieve the Holy Ghost, whereby we are sealed. Sealing there is preserved until the day of redemption. Yes. And we know that alcohol is a preservative. As long as that alcohol is in that wine will remain for millions of years and remain ever fresh. And the longer alcohol stays there, the better that wine becomes. It's speaking about the preservative power of the Holy Spirit that comes on a man. Therefore, if we are doing communion of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, then the alcohol must have some, the wine must have some percentage of alcohol. God bless you.
Okay.
Scripture. The one that speaks of drinking.
You saw it.
1 Corinthians 11. No, he said you should also back it up with
scripture. Oh, I should back it up with scripture. Okay. Sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Please read it.
For in eating, 1 Corinthians 11, 21.
Yes.
For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper.
Uh-huh.
And one is hungry,
uh-huh.
And another is drunken.
How will you be drunk in that time? That's why he was trying to correct it. They were getting drunk because they were taking too much of the alcohol. Because communion in the first church age, the apostles, the early believers, was always having alcohol. So some we drink until they are drunk. So Apostle Paul had to tell the church in Corinth, that is not how it is done. It is only symbolic.
Amen.
God bless you.
Okay, more questions coming in. Shalom, Bra Moses. My question is in Matthew 27, verse 9. Why the misplacement of Jeremiah instead of Zechariah 9:9? Because I have searched the book of Jeremiah. I couldn't see the scripture as quoted in Matthew. Thanks, Akinlabi from Makodi.
Sorry, I don't understand. Let's see the scripture again.
Yeah, Matthew 27:9.
Matthew
27:9.
Chapter 27 and verse 9 says what?
Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value.
That must be from the interpreters.
Yes.
Because the scripture actually is Zechariah.
Yes,
you are
sir.
Correct.
Yes, sir. Okay, more questions coming in. Shalom, Pastor. More grace, sir. Shalom to you, Brother Jesus David. My question is in Mark chapter 1, verse 43 and 45. Did he sin, seeing that his action prevented Christ from preaching freely in that region?
Sister Clara Joseph.
Sister Clara Joseph from Abuja.
Did what?
Did he sin,
seeing that his action
prevented Christ from preaching freely.
Did who
region.
Sin?
Mark
did they sin, maybe?
Mark chapter 1.
Verse 43.
Verse 43 and 45 says.
Mark chapter 1. I just want to get what he said. Verse 43.
And 45.
The leper that was cleansed.
Okay. Verse 45 is the key. 43 and 45.
Uh-huh.
43, and he straightly charged him and forth him sent him away. And said unto him, see, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could not openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter.
So what's the question?
Did the leper sin?
No. He didn't sin. He, out of excitement, he had to tell them the testimony, and then everybody started looking for Jesus.
But Jesus charged him in 43 and
44. Yeah, that is because he didn't want him to be exposed there because people will rush him. And he didn't sin. It's out of excitement.
Okay, that's exactly our question. Because
it was just out of excitement. It's out of excitement. Okay. Because they still came to him anyway. Hmm. You know, even in the wilderness, wherever he was, they had to look for who performed that miracle.
Okay,
you can't hide the light. Wherever the light is, you can't hide it.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Okay. More questions coming in. Good evening, sir. Please, sir, there's something going on now on the internet. When a former pastor of Apostle Suleiman cried out for him to leave his wife alone, the Apostle Suleiman is sleeping with his wife, and now he's no longer with his wife. But my question now, sir, did Apostle John Suleiman of Omega Ministry do the right thing by giving the man's wife a branch to pastor? Shalom, sir. Mrs. Blessing from Abuja.
To start with, we are doing Bible study. And we already know that the Bible forbids a woman to be ordained as a pastor.
That's right.
So not only Apostle Suleiman, but every other pastor that ordains a woman to pastor a church, it is unscriptural.
Amen.
And let me quickly add here, I am not making comment on the conflict that is going on.
I'm
answering your question that is it right for Apostle Suleiman to give the man, the woman, a branch to pastor? Maybe you are putting it to look as if that is the cause of the problem. But I'm saying, I'm not looking at that. It's a denomination. Mm-hmm. Apostle Suleiman is heading a denomination, and that is the denominational beliefs. But that is contrary to the Bible, you know, to ordain a woman to pastor a church. Mm-hmm. But whatever is happening, their matrimonial problem and things like that, I don't know anything about it. I can't comment about it.
That's right.
God bless you.
More grace, sir. Okay. Okay, please, sir. What does Genesis 7:2 mean when it says seven clean beasts and two unclean beasts? Sister Lovers from Germany.
What does
Genesis 7:2 mean when the Lord commanded clean beasts and unclean beasts to Noah?
Let's see how it is put.
Of Genesis. Every clean beast, thou shalt take, chapter sorry. 7 verse 2.
Yes.
Thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female. And of beasts that are not clean, by two, the male and his female.
So what does he mean by putting it? Clean he created beasts. Them both.
Why the separation of clean and unclean beasts?
Because there are beasts that are clean that cannot be used for sacrifice.
Amen.
That are unclean. That cannot be used for sacrifice.
Mm.
So some can be used for sacrifice, but they're all created by him anyway.
Amen.
For his purpose.
Amen.
It's for sacrifice purpose.
Amen.
But now, the blood of Jesus has cleansed all.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. Okay. Can we have more questions? Shalom, Pastor. You said in one of your sermons that the eagle is not the symbol of our faith. And today you have said we are product of a prophetic ministry.
Yeah.
A minister, which is symbolized by the eagle.
Mm.
So I'm confused between the two statements, brother. Alliance from Cameroon. Okay.
We still have prophets now. We still have prophets of the fivefold ministry.
Amen.
We still have the prophetic ministry. But when it comes to dispensation, according to Revelation chapter 4, we have four beasts there.
Amen.
And one of them is the flying eagle.
Yes, sir.
And I'm saying that in those four beasts span, we have the first three beasts. The first three beasts, you know, the activities span the seven church ages.
Amen.
Now, the fourth beast.
After the church age.
It is after the church ages.
Hallelujah.
And the anointing that God used, which is the symbol of God's move at that time, is that fourth beast, the flying eagle.
Mm.
Now we have erroneously brought it under the seven church ages and apply it as the last one for the Laodicean church age. And in my study of the Bible, I say we are placing it wrongly.
That's right.
Because the eagle there is speaking of Moses and Elijah in Revelation chapter 11. Mm. When the gospel will go back to
Israel.
And I think we'll be taking that extensively on Thursday, our rapture watch. Well, we'll be looking at the chronological fulfillment of the seals.
Amen.
And then I hope you will see this clearly.
Amen.
Yes, dispensationally, we are not, our symbol of faith is not the flying eagle.
Mm.
But the Holy Ghost is a spirit of prophecy, the spirit Amen. Of Christ, the spirit of prophecy.
Amen.
And so we are all eagles.
Amen.
We are under the higher eagle. You we have to rightly place this scripture so Amen. That you understand what we mean. Yes, I'm an eagle.
Amen.
Because I fly higher than other birds.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. So, okay, Sister Faith from Benue State, Nigeria. You're an Emma.
My name is Faith. I'm calling from Benue.
God bless you, ma. We can hear you.
Please, I see a scared finger showing me on the earth through dream, telling me that the world is coming to end in that scared finger.
A finger is writing before your face, what?
A five finger before my face was telling me that the world is coming to end in that five finger.
The world is coming to an end.
Is it not true the world is coming to an end? Is it not true? You don't believe it?
I believe it, sir.
So God is using that to let you know that truly the world is coming to an end, then you should prepare. Mm-hmm. So you now have a personal revelation. So with that personal revelation, you should act different from those who are having second-handed report of the second coming of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So you should be more serious with your faith than so many other people.
Okay, then the second one is, then give me a rich watch to put on.
Because the time is coming to an end. It will soon be time up. God bless you,
okay,
Sister Faith.
And the third one, I had a voice calling me that I should come to him, my daughter. So how can I answer this voice?
Yes, that means you are far from him. You should get closer to the Lord. Be more spiritual than you are now. Be more God conscious than you are now. And worship God more seriously than you are now. Get closer to the word of God. God wants to have fellowship with you. And your mind seems to be somewhere else, maybe some distractions. That is God's way of telling you it needs your attention, because he's trying to prepare you for something great ahead. God bless you, Sister Faith, and this is not a program for interpretation of dreams. It's for Bible study. God bless you.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. God bless you. More wisdom.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you,
we want to make Pastor Moses a prophet. It's good.
I'm not a prophet. I'm a pastor. I'm a teacher of the Bible.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
We have a question. In the book of John, chapter 18, verse 38, Pilate asked Jesus Christ a very simple question, but Jesus didn't answer him. And I want you to answer that question for me. The question is, what is the truth? I hope I'm not giving you your next sermon.
No.
Your next sermon topic.
No, the answer is in the Bible, John chapter 17. John chapter 17 and verse 17.
Sanctify them through thy truth.
Uh-huh.
Thy word is truth.
And is he not the word made flesh?
Mm. Amen.
And so that is the truth.
Amen.
Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
So Jesus is the word, is the truth.
Amen.
So the answer is simple. It's not a sermon you are giving me at all. It's in the Bible.
Amen. Okay. All right. Can we have more questions? Shalom, sir. Yesterday, teaching talk about communication in marriage. My husband is always pinging phone when we are together. I've complained, he keeps doing it. I sometimes feel like doing the same, but I think it's not right. Sometimes I also pick up my Bible and start reading when he's pinging.
So
what was your question?
What is your question? Okay, you are complaining. I hope your husband is listening to you. Stop that. It's wrong. How can you be with your wife and you are pinging? Who are you pinging? Please, when you are home with your wife, face your wife. Mm. You know, this is a social thing, you know, it's something else, you know. There was a day that I was sitting down with my son, one side, my wife, one side, and we're all in the dining table. And then I was busy with, you know, with my phone. My wife was busy with her own. My son was busy with his own. Then it just occurred to me. And when I pointed it out, all of us started laughing. I just said, well, like, there's evil in this thing. There's evil. It's breaking fellowship. Mm. Well, we should have been talking something. This guy is communicating with his friend. My wife is on her Facebook, maybe. And here am I don't have Facebook, so I may have been answering some questions or sending some messages or whatever it is, because what else will I do? But it's wrong. We should find time to be together as a family and talk something about the family. The children quickly want to run to their room because they want to be on their phone and be on their tablets and, you know, things like that. So it's a great problem that pastors have to help families out of through such programs we've had during the weekend.
Amen.
I hope you are hearing now. And not only that man, all of you, not only men, women too. You abandon your husband, you are gossiping on the phone. Let it stop. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you so much, sir. Okay, more questions coming in. Shalom, church. Sir, may I know the meaning of thy kingdom come? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Brother Danjuma Godwin from Taraba State, Nigeria. Thanks.
The kingdom of God is defined in two ways. The first one is in Romans 14 and verse 17.
Romans 14, 17.
Yes.
Okay. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness.
What is the kingdom of God?
But righteousness.
Righteousness.
And peace.
Peace.
And joy in the Holy Ghost.
Again.
Righteousness.
Righteousness.
Peace.
Peace.
And joy in the Holy Ghost.
Righteousness. Peace and joy. When you come to Christ, you are entering into a kingdom that guarantees righteousness, a life pleasing before God, peace that comes from God, and joy that also comes from God. If you are in the kingdom of God, you will experience this. So, thy kingdom come, is you are saying, the benefit of being in Christ, let me enjoy it. Mm. That's the meaning of that prayer. But there is also the kingdom that we come. We see in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34, when he'll be coming with his saints to take over for the millennial reign. What did he say there? Verse 34.
25, 34.
Yes.
Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand.
Yes.
Come, ye blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the
world. Which kingdom is that? Is the millennium.
Amen.
So thy kingdom come gives you a focus that you are in expectation of the reign of Christ on earth, where we will also experience through righteousness, peace, through peace, and joy. Through joy. Because Alleluia. Christ shall be known as the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
And when he's on earth, there will be peace. You look at the soon coming king. That scripture is making you look forward to it. Mm. The next statement that follows that in that prayer is, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that is a follow-up to thy kingdom come.
God bless you. Thank you so much, sir. Brother Akpabio from Kaduna State, Nigeria. God bless you, my on air.
Good evening, Pastor.
Okay, can we hear you?
Yes, sir. So I've been learning a lot from your ministry last year, sir, when I came across Brighton.
Amen. Amen.
So he has opened my eyes for a lot of things. And normally, you know, our nature of job as a soldier, will go about doing things we are not supposed to in the name of outside duty. And other activities like that, which we know that is out of it, as God permits.
Amen.
So I something happened last year. I was in a bike going to, is that before the day, I had a dream that I was going for operation outside the within Kaduna and Kaduna like that. So we're much in a vehicle going toward that operational area. Before I know, people started disappearing. People started disappearing. I opened my eyes. I didn't see people again. It's only few of us I was left. I told my friend, Kai, rapture taking place. my friend was laughing at me. He said, why are you talking like this? I said, I know what I'm talking about, and I pray that this thing will not be what I'm thinking of. Because I cannot use my own personal blood to fight for my salvation, and God has said it. So please, let it not just be a dream. The guy was laughing at me. I said, okay, look at now, everybody has gone. So before you know, I was complaining in that dream. I hear a very loud voice. He said, my son, I'm giving you 1 year to serve me in righteousness and holiness. If not so, you will not see my kingdom. I was weak. The next day, Pastor, I was shocked when I went to work. Because I stayed in Kaduna around Kau. When I went to work, coming back in the afternoon with my friend, I didn't even know how a woman run across my bike. I saw myself with my uniform on the ground. That thing did not occur to me. It was when I went to the house, I sat down. The thing came again. He said, this is the mercy I gave to you. If not so, if you die, you know where you will go. Pastor, I was weak. Oh, I'm calling for prayer because I trapped myself. I want to serve God, Pastor. As a soldier, I don't want to be asked a question I will not be able to answer at the last day.
That's right.
I will look stupid. Please, I want you to help me, pray for me. I need grace. I want to serve God, Pastor.
Brother Pabio, first, there's something that is established here, that you are a seed of God.
Yes, sir.
And I want you to note what the Lord Jesus Christ spoke in John chapter 6 and verse 37. Brother Olumide will read it.
John 6, yes, 37.
Now listen to what he said here.
All that the Father giveth me shall come to me.
When did the Father give him?
From the foundation of the world.
Mm. Yes, they are, yes, called the elect. And what did he say? Yes,
and him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out.
You see, all that the Father giveth him,
yes, sir,
will come. Mm. And he has his various ways of calling us to him.
Mm. Yes, sir.
This is evidence that you are a seed of God. Let me tell you, there are genuine seed of God in every walks of life. In the police, in the custom, in the NDLEA, in the Army, Air Force, Navy, in the SSS, wherever you can think in every walks of life, they are there in every career. And if people, and you are there, to be a witness to them, that while others may, because of their profession, because of the nature of their job, go wayward and forsake God, God wants to raise his own in their midst to condemn them. Because, and you are among those in the military, because there are born again Christians. I have met them. Fire-filled Christians. I know an Air Force officer so many years ago who was a wing commander in the Air Force. And they were gathering and praying. He was a fighter pilot. They were gathering and praying, and the commander of the base told them that they must not gather and pray, that it is wrong for them to gather in the Air Force Base when they already have their Orthodox churches there.
Yes,
in the
sir.
Church.
Yes, sir. That is exactly
and I know, I am aware because one of them was very close to me. They tendered their resignation. They told the chief of air staff that if they will not allow themselves their God, that they would rather resign, retire, and go and leave the Air Force. And it was then the Air Force saw that these are some of my best pilots. And told the Ember, you people do it, take it easy, please, take it easy, and don't create confusion. And then they resented their decision. So what I'm trying to tell you here is that everywhere there are people that are ready to die for standing for truth while performing their lawful duties. So God is just trying to tell you that you should take serving him more seriously than you may be doing now. And the fact that God comes to your level and talks to you is evidence you are special. It should lift up your faith. That the creator of the heavens and the earth should come to your level and talk to you. It should lift up your faith to see that you are special. And remember, it's not everybody he talks to. It is his own that he talks to. And so that is one of the reasons God gave us this channel, for instance, where you don't have to be in Lagos here. A sister came to me on Sunday from, she said she was introduced to our Bright Television in Canada. And she said, she just came to greet me because she came to Nigeria for something. She wanted to just meet me and meet me face to face to share testimony that through the Bright Television, she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in Canada. Hallelujah. And she's so excited over it. And so she's feeding from it, and all over the world, this is a technology that God is using and linking us. And be serious with God, know our programs, connect to it, feel free with us, give us call, our numbers, my own number. I talk to everybody when I'm chance, I answer all calls. If you text me, I reply all text messages, and then to follow you up. And we have program once a while, you're in Lagos. Feel free to come. I love to meet all of you. And when we have any program near you, try to attend. Even though for coronavirus, we were supposed to be in Kaduna last year. Maybe we'll have met with you. And I pray that God will keep you and watch over you and give you the grace that you need to serve him in Jesus' name.
Amen, sir. Amen, sir.
God bless you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
More grace, sir.
Thank you.
Pastor David, sir.
Thank you very much. Amen. Jesus David. Thank you.
Amen.
Okay, that will be all for tonight. We've come to the end of this interesting Bible study session. Ask the pastor. We thank God for his grace upon our pastor's life. So we pray that the Lord will keep increasing his wisdom upon you. And we want to thank all sponsors of Bright TV. Whenever a soul is won through the Bright TV, know that you also have a star upon your crown, and we pray that the Lord will keep blessing you.
And just before you go, I promise to get you a scripture. Thank you very much, Pastor Chris Bemu from Abuja, that sent me the scripture now. Thank you. We're together. It's Zechariah chapter 5 about the female angels, verse 9 and verse 10.
Zechariah 5:9.
Yes, thank you.
Then
God bless you.
Then lifted I up my eyes and looked. And behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven.
Uh-huh.
Then said I to the angel that talked with me, whither did these bear the ephah?
Uh-huh.
And he said to me, to build it a house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set.
So who did he see? He saw two women, and they were angels. But that could also be symbolic. Remember, it's a spiritual language. So when you ask whether there are women spirits, concerning the things of the spirit, they are too deep. Too deep. That one cannot really just make a statement. You know, it's the one that God revealed to us we talk about. But there are some cases we hear of. You know, people dying, they are seen somewhere. And then people dying, and then they appear. I have personally seen some.
Mm-hmm.
I have personally seen. You know, we see spirits. So they are spirits. Your question is spirits. But whether they are angels, Now, messengers of God, that's another thing. So far, this is the only scripture I've seen in the Bible that talk about female angels.
Spirits.
They are spirits, right?
Yes, sir.
You know, from I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings. And each time there is wings, that is angelic. That's how we've always known. For they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the upper between the earth and the heaven. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, that was showing him those things, whither do these bear the upper? So they are certainly from God. Okay.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you once again, Brother Chris Kpemu, for giving me this scripture. God bless you.
Amen. To all the bride of Christ around the world, we say shalom. God bless you.